Breakfast.
Weekdays from 5:30.
Marto and Margot are back with another $10,000. They do that every morning at 7:25 with First Responder. In this podcast, though, you really have to listen for the Triple M Dally Award. I'm not saying that right, am I?
Dally M Awards.
The Triple M
Dally.
Triple Dally M Awards.
Oh, Jesus, we got there. Big morning.
Yeah.
Just wonder about that story about the police on the scooters. I'm going to say to you, like, I always wonder, you go to the police, but who decides to go to the horse, you know, the mounted horses? So he goes, some people go to
the
police.
It's the mountain bike for me.
Yeah. But police who joins bikes. The police and goes, you know what, I'm ambitious. I want to be a police scooter rider. Come on.
What's worse, the police on motorbikes or scooters?
Oh, no, motorbikes.
You know what, they should have Vespas.
Things.
Oh, a little Vespa, that'd be cute.
Italian police. Christ almighty.
I like the horse. I'm a police horse fan.
Yeah.
I like horses. You're investing in a racehorse, we heard today.
I don't know, after what we heard today, there's no one seemed to think it was a good idea, did they?
About the greyhound.
Now, let's
maybe you should buy a greyhound.
Oh, no. That's so much
we
more
we need
me.
A Triple M Big Breakfast greyhound,
God.
I reckon. Let's do it.
I was once
remember that night we went to the races? Albion?
Yeah, I do.
The dogs?
I do.
That was fun.
I'm not getting a greyhound either. Is Trot more our go?
Who knows? The Big Breakfast Catch-Up Podcast exclusive to the listener app.
Let's just do it, okay?
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margot.
Time to talk.
Rugby league.
Thank you, Peter. Time to talk rugby league, all right. This is the headquarters, the world headquarters of rugby league, and look who we've got here, the new Maroons coach for next year, Billy Slater. Hello, mate.
Yeah, good morning, Marto. How are you?
Good, mate. How'd you finish up last night?
Last night?
Did you go to the Dally M Awards?
Do you remember that?
Oh, no, I didn't. No.
Because it wasn't on Channel 9, did you boycott it?
No. I'm in lockdown in Victoria. I'm thinking, what did I do last night? Uh-oh.
Did you watch from the couch at home, Billy, at least?
I did. No, it was a great night. And
no
I
surprises?
Djokovic was, not at all. Mm. Not at all. He had it wrapped up and... To do it in 15 games is quite incredible. I think it was a well-deserved award.
That's the best ever that he did it in 10 games less than all the other players.
Extraordinary. Incredible, wasn't it?
All right,
incredible.
I better get your view on him. I hope this doesn't come back to bite you. Is he a flat-track bully? Is he only go good against the easy teams and they always lose against Melbourne and Penrith?
Well, he's done a fair job on Queensland too in the past few years. So, no, I wouldn't call him that, that's for sure. Look, there's certainly an element of truth for Manly. They've really struggled against any top four team this year, and I don't think they've beat a top four side all year. So, you know, that'll be their challenge moving forward. They've got a great record and they can score some points against the lower sides, but to compete against those big physical, just war of attrition type teams, that's their challenge moving forward.
Speaking of Tom Trbojevic and New South Wales, is he going to be your target? Is he the one that you've got to stop and keep out of the game now that you're the new head coach of Queensland? Congratulations, by the way.
Yeah, thanks, Margo. He'll certainly be one of them. Obviously, when you're playing at that level, everyone's a good player, but... I'm pretty sure we get 17 players as well, so that'll be a big part of my focus and getting those 17 players to play at their best on that night of origin.
I didn't see. Have they announced your assistant? So, like, are you getting rid of that Thurston character? He seems to be. have you announced who's going to hang around? Is it you and Smithy and Thursto?
Yeah, no, not as yet. Oh, no. Obviously, a few names have been thrown up, and we've got some quality people in and amongst some past players from Queensland and some past coaches and mentors. So, over the coming months, we'll put our heads together with the QRL and come up with the right people to best assist our players. At the end of the day, it's not about us coaches or field staff. It's all about the players and giving them the best opportunity to go out there and play well.
Having been a player for Queensland, obviously, Billy, on many occasions, you know, that call that you would have got from Mal or Wayne or Kevy or, you know, whoever it might have been, what was it like this time being elected the coach and being given that phone call? Who made the call? Where were you and how did you receive it? With your family?
Yeah, it wasn't as simple as a call, and it was a clean yes for me. It was, I had a fair bit to consider. I've got some existing commitments that I've still got to fulfil, and also family commitments. So it's quite an honourable role, but it also comes with its responsibility. So I wanted to make sure that that I had the time that this role deserves. And I come to the conclusion with my family and my wife, Nicole, and the kids have been really supportive and encouraging of me going for this. And to be fair, I didn't see myself as a coach 3 or 4 years ago, but it's what I know best. I'm really passionate about the Queensland Rugby League, and it was pretty exciting to finally know that I was going to coach this this great state.
Billy, whenever I hear the good coaches speak, they go, I took a little bit from everybody who I was involved with my career. So let's take the top three, I'd say, from yours is Bellyache, Wayne Bennett and Mal Meninga. Halftime or pre-match speeches, what do you learn from those three?
I think the first thing I would learn is to be calm. You need to be measured in what you have to say. And I remember I was injured at the time. I think it was about 2015, and I was in the coach's box with Mal Meninga in a state of origin. And we went down at halftime, and Craig and Cameron Smith had the whole group in a huddle. And basically, Mal just listened to Cameron and what he had to say, and he was happy with that. He didn't have to hear his own voice to justify his position, Mal.
Jeez,
and I don't even think he said a word that halftime. So sometimes saying less is more. And that'll be something that I've sort of learnt over my years of being around some pretty good mentors.
And then bellyache in that coach's box, mate. He does a bit of swearing.
Well, he's not quite measured. He puts his heart on his sleeve. But look, everyone, that's the beauty about coaching, playing. Like, you've got your own style, and it's very important for me not to go in there and be someone else. Yes, I'm going to learn, I'm going to make mistakes, and I'm going to evolve. But I need to be me, and I need to bring my own strengths.
Billy, would you say one of your strengths is in horsemanship? I would say you grew up in pony club, you're a polo player, you now are...
Trackwork jockey.
You now have Slater Thoroughbreds. Words of advice for our main man, Mardo, here, who has been given the opportunity to go in however many...
Just one race horse at this stage. I've always said no, and now I finally said yes. And people are suggesting that you lose quite a bit of money in this game.
Take a small share. Because when they pass the post, it doesn't matter whether you own 1% or 100%, you'll feel like it's yours, and, the bills won't be so hefty. That's why you're a genius.
That's why we love you, mate.
Horses are amazing. I've learnt so much from horses, and you know, they teach you leadership, patience, respect, and you've got to really forge that connection with a horse. So I've learnt just as much about leadership and how to connect with someone through horses as anything.
I remember that origin camp of the Blues when they went horse riding and Phil Daly fell off and got ruled. Anyway, that's just
that was Robbie
that.
Kerr.
Oh, Robbie Kerr, not Phil Daly. Hey, Billy, good luck for no one.
Have you got a tip for Sunday, Bill?
Channel 9 on for Friday,
Panthers,
Sunday.
Rabbitohs, who are you backing?
Have you got a coin, Margot? It's honestly that close. Like, you can forge an argument for both teams. I'm going to lean towards Penrith because they've just got that burning desire from last year, and I know what that feels like. So, it's going to be a great day. I'm looking forward to the coverage all day on Channel 9. So, yeah, can't wait.
When too much rugby league's never enough. Channel 9, Sunday night. I think the main coverage 5:30, but goes all day. Billy Slater will be part of it. Thanks, mate. Good chat.
Thanks, guys.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
All right, this job can send you a little bit insane, and the hours...
Oh, is that what it is? You have been here 20 years, Marto.
No, but it's
might
the
explain
hours.
A lot.
All right, so you said to me this morning, listen, just hold it until we get on air, and then you can go, because when I got in here this morning...
You're
teeing
off about something.
I was teeing about scooter riders. I can't stand them. And I know, I've already said it, if you lived 10Ks out of Brisbane, you've never seen the bloody things, but they're all over the joint. And I have to ride my pushy through the valley every morning now, and they're drunk, and they don't wear helmets, and I hope they die, some of them.
Oh, that's not
they
nice.
They don't have lights on.
I drove one on Saturday night.
Yeah, were you on the correct side of the footpath or road or whatever? Did you have a light on? Did you have a helmet? All these people, I saw five.
I did. All of the above.
Okay. All right, that's for radio.
Well, the light comes on. The light comes on naturally.
Well, some of these,
and you can't unlock the scooter unless you put the helmet on.
Not one. I saw five this morning that didn't have it, and then I get close to work here, and they're parked at the bottom of a set of public stairs.
Well, there's parking
One's
zones.
One's parked inside
Maybe
a lift.
Maybe it's not their fault. Maybe it's the scooter company's fault because they give you parking zones where you're allowed to park the scooters.
All right. Well, I went off at that first, and you went, that's a bit petty. And I said, well, I can't stop it, but I'm going to yell out.
No, you were having a go about your card, not being able to use your tap and go properly.
Oh, that's right. Now, bloody, I have too many.
Oh, dear.
No, I've had enough. Just if you want to go to this new technology, just go the one, just go the face. Oh, no. Oh, you got to tap there? Well, I didn't know, love. Oh, what do you mean? I got to tap on the side. Get one machine and bring it out, and let's all use that. So we just tap on the top. Don't have to. Oh, don't tell me. Don't think I'm the idiot by tapping on the face when you've got the top or the. Or
you know what's?
No, they look at you as if you're an idiot, going, "Oh mate, you got to tap on the side."
You know what's a really good
machine?
A really good giveaway motto.
What?
Where it says "tap here." It actually tells you where to tap.
Not all. Do they all say that?
Yes.
All right. You know the other one? Yeah. Mate,
I use my watch and my phone. There's so many options now.
Yeah, that's the problem.
If I just double click the side of that, what comes up?
Oh, Westpac.
Credit card.
Your credit card. See, that's dangerous. Done. You could be walking down the street and someone will scam you. You're in for a lot of trouble. I'm telling you right now. The other one was Snowy. He said he had trouble with his wheelbarrow. While I'm out there, I'm going to get it all out right here and right now,
yes,
okay?
You are.
Well, if that's okay, just stand by.
Triggered by a lot today. What happened last night?
All right,
to you?
I just listen. I just had that apple. I just had to peel it. Why do they have apple stickers? And also, Snowy's got, our producer, had trouble with his wheelbarrow wheel. Oh. I've had trouble with two wheelbarrow wheels.
Oh,
go to see C&L Tools if you want to get a permanent one that doesn't need a inflating. You can't properly inflate them with a bike pump, wheelbarrow wheels.
Look, I'm with you with the stickers on the apple because I've got those long acrylic nail-looking things. It's always hard to get underneath. And kiwi fruit stickers as well. But you know what? If we're going to have a little gripe about something, I'm triggered by Chupa Chup wrappers.
What?
I bought a heap of them for our kids out at the dam on holidays. And you can never get the bloody wrapper off the Chupa Chup because they glue the little lever, like the bit where you're supposed to peel it and pull it. They glue it to there and I'm like using my teeth. And then you've got to rip the top off and then slide it down
that's
the pole.
So true.
It's so annoying.
All right.
Anything sealed, any sort of packaging actually that's sealed, like the prosciutto that I put on my cheese platters when I'm camping.
Yeah.
They're always really hard. The prosciutto slices always stick together and then it rips it and pulls it and it looks messy. And I like to roll them up into nice little tight rolls and place them on the platter so they look pretty.
Do you think I'm insane about the scooters? I know this won't work, but you said to me, if you want to you want to get your petty rant off your chest, do it on air. Don't do it to you at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Stop bothering me with it.
33353. If you've got a petty rant, I know no one will ring and I don't give a stuff, okay? I just wanted to get my stuff off my chest. If you've got something, this is your chance now. I don't care if you don't ring. 133353.
If anyone else is feeling a little triggered by something, perhaps, Marto.
Someone could be driving you insane and you just want to quickly mention it on air and go, I got that out of me. And you'll go through the day. See, I feel better now.
I feel sorry for you. There seems like little joy in your life at the moment.
Oh, no, no.
Lots of things upsetting
you. I have joys. Oh, hold on. 133353. Don't ever ring again. Leanne from Capella Bar says Marto whinging makes her angry.
Is Leanne triggering you?
I don't like Leanne.
Damien from
Bravey
Island.
No more Leanne ever on this show.
Good morning.
Hey, Damien. How are you?
Damo.
I'm well, thanks.
Yeah, Marto's teed off. Who do you want to tee off on? What annoys you?
Hey, I'm with Marto. And B, these drive-through takeaways, McDonald's, KFC, all of those, with these people sitting in front of you and they read the whole bloody menu like they've never been there before.
Yeah, it's not changed in about 50 years, has it, Damien?
You go there, you order what you want, you drive up, you pay for it, you get it, you eat it, that's it.
Petty rant.
Get in and out.
Now,
in that order.
Damo, if you want something fancy, I want the double Angus with cheese or whatever those stupid ones are, you got to go inside. I reckon there should only be three items on that board to a drive-thru, so it's so easy for people. Yeah. You're in a hurry, Damo.
Yeah, I just want me soft serve and I'm gone, mate.
Oh, you want the 30? How much are they now?
No, 70
cents. They're 75 cents. They put them up.
Jeez,
which I'm not happy about that as well.
Hey.
All right, Damien, got it off your chest.
One rant at a time. Paul from Carina, what does he say?
Well, Paul says, I love watching American football, but I will blow a bloody gasket the next time a commentator refers to an NFL team as world champions.
Oh, so true.
You play a domestic sport. Get in the bin.
Petty rant.
That's right. They're the only team that plays. How can they be world champions? I'm with you, Paul. Good bloke.
Seth from Victoria Point. Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
Yeah, Seth, do you have something you want to get off your chest?
Oh, people who complain about people complaining. You know bloody better. Shut up.
Thank you, Seth. We've had a number of Leanne's calling about being banned from our show. Stop ringing, Leanne's. We're not talking about you. People that, what's Tamara want? Tamara?
Morning, Marto. I 100% agree with you. Listen, I work at a cardiologist and the average age of our patients is 97 years old. Yes. And the amount of times that we have to do the tap and go for them on the FPOS machine, I wish it was just one simple generic machine across the brand of the banks and it was done. Right? But that wasn't actually what I rang up for. I rang up because I was doing 110 down the highway just before, and there was a girl in a little pink car driving along doing 70 or 80 Ks. And I went out to overtake her, and she was putting her makeup on.
Did you run her off the road, Tamara?
No, I didn't. But I figured that the 5 minutes extra in driving to work that it's going to take her sitting on that
speed
driving to work.
She could have done it when she got there.
At 110 k's, pull over when she gets to work, and then put it on in the car. Like, how hard is it?
Well, I'm glad you reminded me. I can't stand people who drive pink cars either. I forgot that.
Petty rants.
We might bring this back. It's been quite popular. And stop ringing, Leanne. We're not taking any of your calls.
Triple M.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Quiz question for you, Margot.
Yep.
Anyone playing it in the car can go as well. How many Australians do you reckon eat fried chicken at least once a week?
Oh.
Okay. Like, there's 25 million of us, say. How many? That's women
eat it
children.
Once a week.
Once a week. So every week. That's once a week.
I have no idea.
2.2 million.
I would never upset that.
Okay. Right.
Every week they're eating fried chicken.
2.2 million of us.
Wow.
Oh, have you seen those... the Polynesian boys on a Friday arvo, geez, they demolish, they approach a chicken shop like it's Christmas. Anyway, I'm talking about this because Hungry Jack's is taking this information about the 2.2 million chicken eaters, or fried chicken eaters, and they're offering new burgers to their menu, fried chicken burgers.
Oh,
I know.
The burgers are better at Hungry Jack's, isn't that what they say?
Well, but they'll now say the fried chicken burgers are now better. I pulled this out of the paper yesterday. I thought, oh, yeah, whatever, see what happens. And then all of a sudden, last night, they started their ad campaign, which is classic grand final week because we all got to eat fried food on Saturday, Sunday because in the lead up to the grand final, that's traditional.
Be as good as that Macca's ad, you know, we brought 50 years ago, we bought McDonald's, Macca's.
Well, it's distinctive and it'll catch your ears.
Fall in love. With Hungry Jack's new Jack's Fried Chicken Burgers.
Oh, wow. Bouncy chicken.
Big, crunchy, juicy chicken. New Jack's Fried Chicken. Oh. Pick up or get delivery at Hungry Jack's. The burgers are better.
That sounds like the music that should be in like RSVP.com or eHarmony or Come Find Your Lover Here.
Can you sit still?
Fall in love.
Can you not squirm while you're talking?
It's off-putting.
It sounds like there is a little bit of fat in these things, but that was started yesterday. They launched the Jack's. They call it the Jack's Fried Chicken Burger.
They're all doing chicken now, though. Like, I mean, if I'm getting chicken, I'm going to a chicken place. Like, I'm going to, like, a Red Rooster. We love Red Rooster. I love a good quarter of chicken and chips. But even they're now doing fried chicken, I noticed. They've got a take on the
fried chicken. They're not just doing barbecue chicken.
Not just barbecue chicken anymore. They're doing a take on the crunchy fried chicken.
Well, poor old KFC. Yeah, the Colonel came over here from the States 50 years,
the 60 secret herbs and spices.
11 herbs and spices, and he had the market to himself. And now all these people going, I want to run in your lane now, Colonel.
But do you shop from the original? You know, the person who started, or do you follow the trend?
No, I still like going to KFC. There's something about me. I don't know. It's just I think. And the thing is. So why don't KFC? Yeah, all right, I'll take you on McDonald's and Hungry Jack's. Oh, we're coming to get you, KFC. Why don't they jump the fence and somehow either get? Well, why don't they do this? Why don't they start going at using some beef occasionally? Yeah, get over the Angus.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Marto and Margo.
Of course, it's a big week for this game.
Rugby league.
Isn't it?
Bit of a landing.
What a week it is. What a pleasure to be living
here. Dally M's last night, grand final this weekend.
And we think the super coach is in rare form. We've got to have a look at this. Wayne's World spins on an axis all of its own. And thank goodness we've had the secret microphones. Yesterday, of course, he was on the phone
with Benji,
or called him in. That's what we got on the microphone. Today, we had to get the secret microphone because the owner of the Rabbitohs, one of
Russell Crowe,
over in
Thailand, in hotel quarantine,
quarantining. So he'd love to be here, wouldn't he? But
of course,
thank goodness he and Wayne, they're so tight. Did you see them? You know,
they're embracing
their love that they have for each other. They're simpatico when they come together. It's incredible.
Yin and yang.
Man, thank God I had the secret microphones on when Rusty
has called
Wayne to go, you know, he wants to know, he likes to be involved as the owner of the club and what's going on this week.
Oh, Russ, Rusty, is that you, mate?
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the north.
Yeah, mate, yeah, whatever. Yeah, that's good. Hey, mate, I've been doing this a long time. I'm running out of inspiration. I've used every speech I've got. Can you help me out to get us over the line?
Find yourself alone, riding in green fields with the sun on your face. Do not be troubled, for you are in Elysium, and you're already dead!
Russ, that's brilliant stuff, mate. I want to run on the field. Have you got any more I can give the boys?
What we do in life echoes in eternity.
Oh, Russell, that's magnificent. But I've used that one before. I remember in 2014 in the Grid GF, you gave that one to me. You got any others?
Dirt cleans off a lot easier than blood.
Boy, that's a beauty for half-time, Russ. Thanks, mate. But, mate, what's our motivation? What do I say to the boys? What's getting us going?
I will win the crowd. I will give them something they've never seen before.
Oh, hold on, Russ. I'm the super coach, mate. I've been in, this is my 10th grand final. I don't think you've won the crowd. Oh, were you acting? Oh, sorry, mate. Sorry, Russ. Mate, we'll do this. I'll speak to you tomorrow.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Hey, Marto, I've been out at Lake Mulgra camping or caravanning.
You're still out there?
Yeah, since last Friday. We're still out there. We go home Wednesday. I've been back and forth yesterday and again today because I just love it out there so much. It's so great. The kids love it. And there's really nothing to do out there outside of the lake. And so a couple of them have got little tinnies and they just putt around in their little 5-horsepower motors. And they have a great old time, you know. And we're really lucky. We've got a beautiful caravan and a nice setup. But I know
you love your caravan.
I love
don't
our
you?
Caravan. We do 5 weeks at Christmas in it. It's like a second home for us, you know. And it's really good fun holidaying. We always go with lots of other families. There is about 8 or 9 families out there over the course of the week with us at Lake Mulgra, and everybody that we go camping with have caravans.
Is there any caravan envy? Because I've seen some good setups. Like we spent a lot of time at Moreton, and there was a bloke spent nearly three months. Pace, if you're listening, how are you, mate? 3 months over there, over Christmas, okay. Mm. He had a mower, he had a whippersnipper, he had 3 freezers, had a TV. He
took his house.
Kath was blown away. Kath said, because Kath doesn't, you know, she's moved past camping, but she goes, if you can make me camp, you can get me camping like this.
There's some pretty decent setups.
Toilet, shower, everything.
There's some pretty decent setups out there, not just in the vans, Marto, but cars and boats, you know, like there'd be like $600,000 setups of a car. There's a Ranger out there, a Raptor. What's the big one? You know, the Ford Raptor. There's one of them out there at the moment with a big, beautiful, brand new Super Air Nautique wake boat on the back. I reckon it's about a $600,000 package, the car and the boat together.
Wow. Car boat envy.
Plus then they've got another big four-wheel drive that a big Lexus that tows the $100,000+ caravan. Like there's some people have money to burn.
We do have
a little bit of, you know, we've got a beautiful caravan, but a friend of ours, they've just bought a new caravan, nice big new, it's called Hollywood, and they got no kids in it, which is why I'm envious of it because I got 4 bunks in mine with 4 little children.
Hold on, they've got someone out with you with no kids.
The kids out. No, the kids are sleeping in the annex. They've got a big, beautiful bed. They got 3 TVs. 2 TVs in the caravan, 1 TV out
for
in the annex.
For the kids outside.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Oh, that's extraordinary.
Yeah, beautiful setup. And the irony is they're parked up next to some campers, Marto, and they pulled in their Mazda CX-5. And there's nothing wrong with the CX-5 apart from the fact that it's not really made for 4-wheel driving. It's more of an all-wheel drive, I would say.
Yeah.
But they didn't have a caravan attached to it. I'm like, oh, this is interesting. They've parked up in one of the caravan spots and they pulled out a tent. And I thought, oh, they're going to sleep in a tent because tents pull up on the powered sites as well.
Was it a big tent?
Mate, there was 5 of them, 2 adults and 3 children. Huh. They pulled out a 2-man tent.
Wow.
And they set this thing up and I was like, oh, obviously they're going to put the kids in the tent and they might sleep in the car, put the, you know, the backrest down and not off.
Just for a night, though.
Just for a night, you know. But, three nights they were there, four, five of them sleeping in a two-man tent.
That's
I watched
hell.
Them all crawl into this little
Are they teaching their kids
tent?
Some sort of weird lesson? Where they're going, look, if you work hard, you can have one of those caravans. Otherwise, you'll be in this tent the rest of your life.
And I watched them one by one crawl in and make way for each other. And then the five of them zipped up the thing and off they went to bed. And I was like, Jesus.
Oh, my God.
And then here was this big, massive caravan with just two people in it. And there was this tiny little baby tent with five people in it.
They had three kids. They had three TVs. Oh, Jesus.
It was incredible.
Can we talk about this with everyone else?
353. I want to know, what's the best setup you've seen, like the most incredible setup when you've been caravanning or camping? Because it can. It does bring envy. You know, it's like keeping up with the Joneses sometimes when you're caravanning. But then also,
have you got an aircon?
What's some of the worst setups you've seen? Because this tiny little baby tent with five, I felt sorry. I'm like, I have some spare beds. I could have bunked my lot into a double bed on the couch and then put a couple of people in the bunks out the back. I wanted to offer them a bed for the night.
I don't know enough. Do caravans, if they're plugged in ones, like, you know, if you've got a powered site,
look, we're
can
really
you have
lucky.
Got an aircon?
Yeah, we're really lucky. We've got a fridge, a toilet, a shower.
Great.
Yeah.
You've got the pot, the coffee pod machine.
Coffee pods. I've got my Thermomix, my air fryer. The whole lot comes
it's not
out there
camping.
With us.
Come on.
With the air conditioning unit.
See,
no,
when
it's not
you come
camping,
to
it's caravanning.
You can't use half of that stuff. Caravanning's actually better than staying at a house sometimes.
Yeah, it's like an apartment on wheels. It's all incredible. Right. But 1-3-3-5-3, I want to know. I saw probably one of the best setups while we were camping and one of the more not as good.
Some of the things they've got now. Extraordinary.
Got $100 to spend at C&L Tools as well for one of our callers. So jump on the phone, 1-3-3-5-3.
Well, best setup and worst setup.
Best or worst setup. Chris from Moray Field, caravan and camping setups. What have you seen?
Oh, morning, guys. Well, not mine. Mine's a flag on the ground. But of course, F450 big ute.
F450, Jesus.
450, mate, imported from overseas somewhere. On a massive gooseneck.
Like they've got on those horse trailers.
Yeah, mate. He said he spent about $800,000 or $900,000 on the entire setup.
They're like a triaxle too, those big F450s. They got three wheels off the back of them.
That's worth two houses in some areas.
Yes, mate.
What did he have on the back? Did he have a caravan or...?
No, the gooseneck trailer was the caravan.
Oh, that was the caravan.
Can I ask you, did they look any classier than you and I, Chris?
No, mate, he was wearing pluggers and a pair of ruggers.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Double pluggers,
right.
Though. Double.
Yeah, good pluggers.
Steve nice, from Loda. Good morning, Steve.
Morning, guys. How are you going?
Yeah, good. Camping caravan setups. What have you seen, the good, the bad, or the ugly?
I've got both. You can take it as the worst or the best. This is back in the... late 70s, early 80s, when most tents didn't even have floors, but we used to go camping every Christmas for 6 weeks. We did have a caravan in an annex, but my mother would make my dad fence the whole campsite off. And
what? Temporary fencing?
Fully cover it with, you know, the old brattice? It's a brown, like, hessian...
Well, on the ground?
Flooring?
Like flooring?
No. That was the fence, the picket, and then she would make him carpet the whole site to keep the sand.
Oh, so the sand couldn't blow in. That's what the canvas
that's
was
incredible.
For. Oh,
mate,
that's extreme.
And there was three of us, so I was the oldest out of three, and my brother and sister used to run around on the ground, but there was no, they never got dirty.
Where were you?
Where were you camping? Is this in the 80s or what era are we talking here?
We would be from about 78 to 82, I suppose.
And it made you the man you are now, didn't it?
We're talking back southeast Victoria.
Oh, and cold.
Mate, we didn't worry about it back then. No. The water temp was about 19, but we didn't care. We surfed and ate meat pies and chocolate milk every day for 6 weeks.
Best holidays ever. You'll never forget it, will you, Steve? You haven't?
No, definitely not. It was about one of the best times of my life.
Well, going from that with temporary fencing, and what about Tony from Brussels, Steve?
What's
he said the first time he went camping, he lobbed up at the shop and bought a $10 tent and a bit of tarp for an awning. 2 hours in, it started pouring rain. The awning gave way. My $10 tent flooded.
Never again.
Triple M's Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Hey, listen, we've spoken this morning about the Dally M's. It's been in the news. Oh, Tommy Turbo won Best Player. Sam Walker, Ipswich Boy, won
Rookie of the Year.
Rookie of the Year. They shouldn't let rugby league players speak. That's what I took out of the Daly M's last night, but I've known that for
Tedesco
quite some
won
time.
Tedesco won Captain of the Year. Bellamy, was he Coach of the
Coach
Year?
Coach of the Year. Yeah. And Payne Haas was the only winner from the Broncos. Well, you didn't see. They didn't put everything on TV. I don't know if you know, but the mispronounced Injury of the Year award at the Daly M's went to Felice Calfusi when he was talking about Josh Adokar.
Foxy has come back from a G-string issue. Luckily, we've got another week again for him to recover from that, and I'm sure he'll be fine.
If he doesn't know
G-string issue,
he'll be back next week. I want to see what he does with his wife's underwear when he takes it off the line. Anyway, there was also the Daly M for the Mathematician of the Award, Mathematician of the Year Award. It went to Kevin Walters.
And we're round five into 25, so you know we're a quarter of the way. You know, if you look at a cake, we've got a quarter of the cake. There's still three quarters of the cake to eat.
So good. So good.
Run the league.
Even I know it's a fifth.
And, of course, it went late into the night. And, well, they ran out of presenters and they said to Margo and I, listen, can you give us a bit of a hand here? And what was the one? Yes, this is how it went down, something like this. It was the Daly M for bringing the game into the most disrepute. Oh, it was a hotly disputed. They couldn't put it on TV because it went for hours. Can you go through some of the nominees?
The nominees, Marto, for bringing the game into disrepute. Jai Arrow down on the Gold Coast during the Origin period.
Who could forget the exotic dancer?
Exotic dancer in camp and was unfollowed by his girlfriend on Instagram during that time as well.
Then there was Adam Elliott, of course, the Bulldogs forward, who was into the disabled toilets with one of the...
He was pashing on with one of the chicks.
Not allowed to do that. That's bringing the game into disrepute. What about Jordan Rickey and Thomas Flegler?
A little uppercut to the chin and a few stitches to the eyebrow. Off you go, boys. Have a little wrestle.
What about Lachlan Lewis, Canterbury Bulldogs halfback, for stealing the TV out of the, the Xbox out of the team room, which is common property, and then selling it on Facebook.
Double well done.
Marketplace, nice entry.
Anthony Milford, Marto, got into a bit of hot water whilst we were away on holidays, some claims, alleged domestic violence.
We'll sort them out, but that was bringing the game into the disrepute. Well done, you're nominated. TC Rabadi went for a drive, or he tried to drive his girlfriend's car from the passenger.
He was just giving her some guidance on which way to go.
Helping out. And of course, there's been some recent ones over the last few days.
Of course, Reece Walsh
getting busy down the Gold Coast. Mm. Money Munster.
And Hectic Cheese.
They brought the game into disrepute. Mystery. I said we were going to finish the show by working out what that mystery substance. We still haven't gotten there.
Marto, I think the one that was a well-deserved nomination.
Hold on, I'm stuffed.
But
have
has to be our winner for bringing the game into disrepute was Paul Vaughan from the St George Dragons hosting a barbecue.
That's right.
Down in New South Wales whilst in lockdown. Also featuring his support acts, Corey Norman, who left his wallet on the bench and fled, left his car out the front. Jack DeBellin, who found a hiding spot. The good old days of hide and seek came into play under the bed.
See, this show teamwork, this bit of disrepute.
And, of course, Matt Dufty running 8 kilometres
That's right, he ran home. But listen, and on the night, there could only be
one player
who brought the game into disrepute more than any other. And it has to go to the most tattooed man in the NRL, Josh Dugan, for that night he did the country drive where three times police said, go home. He said, I've got to go and look after a mate's dogs. Well done, Joshy Dugan. What a night. The Daly M winner.
Well done. It's Triple M, the big breakfast.
Do I have any tattooed on my forehead today?
I don't know. Let me have a look.
Can
a little
you see
bit.
Anything?
Yeah, I can just
they're
fade.
Just furrows.
No.
They're just furrows. They're the normal furrows. No, because...
Oh, what's happened?
Well... I have said so many times, you know, when you're in sport, you get involved with betting and racing and all the rest of it. I'd go to the races only 2 to 3 times a year just with mates and have fun and then go, I don't get heavily involved. But over the years, I reckon I've been approached 20 times from electricians, from plumbers and all sorts of tradies who have gotten
involved. Any of
our
listeners?
Yes.
With racehorses?
Yes,
that have
and
said,
they'll be listening right now to take up a very, very special opportunity in a racehorse. And I've always gone, no, because I know what Kath will say, you idiot.
Well, you told me no, because remember I got approached earlier in the year from some lady in Hong Kong who said we're moving back to Brisbane. Okay. We want to put a racehorse together for the Magic Millions. It was like an all-in female racehorse. Or something, and you said, don't do it.
You're an idiot. And I went to listeners at
I said,
that.
Okay. So, Marto said, I'm an idiot. Don't do it.
Where did that end up? You never did it, did you?
Never did it, no.
Okay. for some reason, I've moved near the Hammo Hotel. We got a little rental near the Hammo Hotel, and for some reason, because you're near the
Racecourse Road,
three times Eagle in the Farm. Last 3 weeks, I've been asked some people over the road going, "Oh, you moved into the area. You're obviously into the races." No, just because you've moved into a rental house that your nephew owns doesn't mean you're interested in the races. And they're right. The street near us is called that Racecourse Road. So they just think you're keen.
I tell you what, there's some money in racehorses if you're on the right side. Because when I was going out to Lake Moogra from the Gold Coast, you go through Canungra, Wongalpong, or Clagrabar. That Aquis, owned the Gold Coast Turf Club, they have got hectares and hectares of post and rail fencing and stables and horses. It's incredible.
All right. But then, so I've knocked all these back until last week. I was on holiday. You know, we had the week off. The bloke rang me. I was up north. I was feeling relaxed.
So you know him?
He gave me,
He rang you, so he's got your number.
We played all the way through school, 13 A's, 14 A's, 15 A's, 16 A's, and first 15, okay? Mm-hmm. We played footy together, then we played against each other.
So you've got a good relationship. You trust him.
Great fella. And his old man, I went to the first time. His old man was a bookie.
Mm-hmm.
We used to go to the races together when I was a kid. We'd pick up all the drunks betting tickets. We'd go around and we'd know what one every, anyway, so he was heavily involved. Now he runs a spelling yard or something, okay? Great fella. He said, "I've put together all these other blokes. You're the last piece of the puzzle." And I go and name the other blokes, and they're all good blokes.
Okay. Are they all rich? Like, are they loaded? No, is this a successful racehorse team?
No. It's costing me nothing.
What?
Uh-oh. Nothing. He doesn't
What's
want
the catch?
Anything.
Alarm bells.
It doesn't. No, he's lonely.
Nothing ever comes for free.
I think he's lonely and he just wants to put some old footy mates together.
Do you get
some
to pick the name?
Nothing.
That's important.
No, the name's been picked. It's Baraka. Anyway, it's a long, funny old name. But he said it means gratitude and serenity or something. Well, I know one of the blokes, because now we're in an email trail, and one of the blokes said, "Can we get a horse that says fast?" And I don't think that's ever happened. But here we go. "Please find attached your..." Hey, Marto, "please find attached your form to be completed for the lease. I've included mine as a guide. Just ignore that I've left my percentage." Anyway, return email. I'm in.
You're in.
Done.
And it's costing me nothing.
I don't know what they say now.
There might be a catch.
They say, "Hey, Marto, when I said it was..."
You don't know the name of your horse. There's the first catch.
Oh, no,
maybe you should call it Hectic Cheese.
No, it's Baraka Quinn or something. Right? Baraka Quinn. I don't think it's racing yet.
Right.
Because now he started sending me videos of it. It's a very
what
young.
Colour is it? Is it what
it's
is
brown.
It? The thoroughbred, of course.
Brown. I haven't. And there was a bloke tried to hop on it in one
How
of the videos,
it?
And it threw it off. Is that a good sign?
No,
how old is it?
Sign.
A yearling? Is it a colt?
I don't know.
Well, maybe you should know a little bit more about horses before you start investing in race ones.
But that's the thing. I haven't invested. I haven't spent a cent. All I got to do is send this email back, and I'm in.
Okay.
"What could possibly go wrong is the question I'd like to ask it. Could our wise listeners please help me?"
Our horsing enthusiasts. Yes. Old Daryl over here wants to know if he can ride the horses.
It's 6 minutes past six. We've probably got a drop ears listening. 133353. I just want to know what could possibly go wrong. Surely
we'd
there's someone listening right
now. We'd have plenty of blokes in shares with horses.
Oh, my electrician, Collie, if you're listening.
1/20th share.
I've said no to you so many times and you'll be blown away that I finally said yes to somebody, but you were going to cost... He always asks for money. So tell me what could possibly go wrong if you own a horse. 133353. If you could help an old bloke.
You might not have to invest in it, but you might have to pay for the maintenance of the horse.
Yeah, I know. That
floats,
could be.
Injuries.
There's been no mention of that yet. Could we just
You'll end up like Corey when one of our dogs gets sick or needs to go to the vet and the bill's going to be like $2,000. He's like, "Just give it the green whistle."
Oh, the horse will go to the farm.
Let's have this conversation in a year.
Somebody help me out here. What could possibly go wrong? 133353.
And Marto pays for the expertise. Brick Lane Draft. We've got a carton of beer.
Oh, we got beer back.
Yeah, beer is back.
Good thing about owning a racehorse is you get free entry into the races all year round, Marto.
Oh, do you?
You can waive that $20 general admission fee.
That'd be great.
You
know? Well, that's worth it. That sounds tremendous.
David from the Gold Coast, 133353. What could go wrong, Marto wants to know, about owning a racehorse? What's your experience?
Yeah, well,
did you hear him
very
laughing?
Little can go, very little can go wrong, I guess, really. But, look, at the end of the day, there's normally running costs. Well, there are definitely running costs. So normally when you lease a horse, there's no upfront cost.
Yeah.
Oh. But obviously, there's some running costs. So the trainer has to get paid, and everybody else is the vets and all the other people that get involved, the barrier and everybody else.
How much?
You've got a very, very good mate if he's going to let you in for nothing and then swing you a little bit if the horse happens to be smart enough to win a race.
Hey, Dave, let's say it doesn't turn out as it appears at the moment. How much do you have to pay all these trainers and stuff?
Oh, mate, most trainers in Queensland are anywhere around about that $80 to $120 a day.
David.
And then on top,
every
top
day.
You've got the farrier and...
Do you own racehorses, David?
I've had a few over the last 40-odd years. I've bred a fair few horses, so I know a little bit about it.
So on average, what would you say a racehorse would cost you per year to maintain?
Oh, probably, my maths aren't that good, but let's work on, say, about $2,800 a month.
Or between eight.
So 15 grand a year, 20 grand a year.
That's without anything going wrong. You can be lucky. I mean, I've had the fortune of, I've been fortunate enough to actually be involved with a few good horses, not that I owned, but I've bred a few good horses that are one group ones and things like that. And,
what's the potential earnings then,
so
David?
40 years, are you ahead?
Yeah, I'm definitely ahead, and I've got a guy that I did a lot of work for out of Dubai, and he's definitely ahead after 12 months, or probably after 14 or 15 months. We're in front. We've bred a Golden Slipper winner for him in his first year. So,
is he a sheikh who you're working for?
He's a pretend one, I think. He'd like to be one, but
I don't think I'm in your realm, Dave. So I'll just take it slowly.
This could be an early retirement plan for you, Marto.
I wonder if here's Ryan from Brassel. Ryan, did it cost you much money to get into this horse game?
Yeah, but I unloaded about 20 grand in 12 months. I had a Simply Innocent mare out of Mr. Innocent, and she started racing, and then she got really bad shin splint, which was like sore front leg.
Bad genes.
And then that was it, pretty much. And then the trainer, I won't say his name, I got out of the industry pretty much straight away because they were sending her to the track and she hadn't even been raced while he's over in Japan.
Oh, dear.
I like pre-trained and stuff.
So you were 20 in the deep and you didn't even get a race or a win or nothing.
Oh, he'd send her out to like Nanango in the middle of the sticks.
All right, you're dragging.
She'd run
things.
Like
14. Ryan, you're dragging.
Ryan's saying basically, if you've bought a donkey, you're going to be 20 deep, Marto.
Maybe Marto's just bought your horse.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
What about Dave Ryan's, from Burpengary? G'day, Dave. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Al. How are you?
Did anything
good.
Go wrong when you own some horses?
Oh, look, mate, we did the pub purchase, as you do of a horse. Never rode a horse before we get into it. The horse runs at Bathurst, does a couple of half good jobs, and then
cars are supposed to run at Bathurst.
You've got to understand that the name of the horse, it was called Top Speed Justice, was its name.
Oh, my God, we're on here. That would have been you blokes at the pub.
Right, so we're in. It runs at Bathurst and stops halfway along the course to say good day on its first run, and then on its next run, it actually runs a course record, class record, and distance record.
Oh, we're on here, Dave. We're on
over 1130 metres. Yeah. So we get a phone call from the trainer that night saying, "Boys, we've been moved up a grade. We're off to Gosford."
God, what a incredible step. Anyway, what a step.
The places horse racing can take you. Bathurst into Gosford. What a combo.
We thought we were up there, right? And anyway, it kicks off at Gosford. It's leading by six lengths, gets 100 metres before the finish line and drops dead.
Oh, shit.
Oh, that's not good.
That wasn't a good investment, Dave.
Well, it was Top Speed Justice at the end of the day.
Yes, it shouldn't have run over 950, apparently.
And the cruncher to the cost was you get a phone call, it costs you $400.
Oh, my God.
Okay, Dave.
Incredible.
So, great story, but all in all, experience-wise, was it good?
But the experience was to believe my grandfather, they wouldn't have started a race meeting without him, was never ever to stick your money on something that's got something halfway up its back, mate. That was the moral.
Hold on.
But whatever, don't stick your money on something that's got something halfway up its back. Right. So,
Dave?
It's a good piece of advice,
thanks,
David.
Thanks for the call. Oh,
so greyhounds.
I mean, look at you, Marto. Yeah. Look what your life could be. You could go from Burpengary like Dave down to Bathurst to Gosford and then...
What about the Dubai with the sheik story, eh?
That's luck. Not happening.
16 past interesting.
6. Can't go anywhere. International borders are closed.
The Big Breakfast, waking you up weekdays from 5:30.
Hit the siren that notates the highlight of the show for the morning. They're calling it the greatest television show ever made in Australia's history, Margot.
Yeah, it is. It's incredible. It's The 100 with Andy Lee. And, of course, it's on tonight at 8:40 on 9. And he joins us now. G'day, Andy.
Hello, guys. I hadn't heard that feedback, but I'll...
Well, I've got people listening, so that's all right.
Yeah. How are you guys?
Now, I saw you got... Did I see the promo? You got Carl Stefanovic in there. Is he asking a question about Hamish Blake? Is that what the twist is?
Yeah. Carl is actually on the panel tonight.
No,
which is a great risk to him because he's alongside comedians that are actually funny, and he had to sit in the middle and said to me, roasting. So if you Marta, if you aren't into him, tune in because he absolutely gets roasted by the other two the entire hour.
Now, that's worthwhile. But what I found interesting was that he's talking about your old sparring partner.
Yes. Now, he won. Unfortunately, Carl won.
Oh, no, not
and
about
he had
that.
The opportunity to ask the 100 any question he wanted.
Oh.
And he chose to ask them, do you prefer Hamish over Andy? Which we all know was going to be categorically in Hamish's favour.
can we talk about Hamish, though? Is he the most famous Melbourne Demons fan? Has this been driving you mad for years and he's finally won a grand final?
Well, I wouldn't say for years because when I first met him, he didn't have a team. And then he followed Carlton for a while
because
of me. And his parents and his brother back for Geelong.
Stop it!
But he eventually found the Melbourne Demons, but I think long enough to be able to celebrate it in full because it actually was through for AFL fans. I know there's a few of them up in Brisbane, Jim Steins was a good mate of was Hame, and they did a lot of work outside of football. Jim Steins, a famous Irish footballer who did a lot of youth work, and he ended up passing away, Jim, and that's what changed Hamish to the Melbourne Demons.
Yeah. You can have friends at all sorts of football clubs. Doesn't mean you can jump ship too often, right?
Turn right, I think we call them.
I know. He's doing a lot of trial and error, but he did sit through the years of them being terrible. So he's okay in my book.
Andy, I want to talk about, a real deep-seated issue here for us Queenslanders because we used to, we've had a few comedians that have appeared on the show across the year, and one in particular was Nick Cody, who came from Melbourne, and he often would call the chicken schnitzel with the ham and the Napolitana sauce and the cheese a parma, and we got rid of him out of our show just purely for that and that he liked
fair
watching UFC, whatever.
Oh, UFC.
UFC and calling it chicken parmas. But I was glad to see that 54% of people that you asked on your show call it the palmy, which is what it's supposed to be called.
I was devastated. Obviously, it's just Melbourneites that call it a parma, but I was adamant that it was parma. I'm in the minority now. Palmy reigns supreme. So there's a lot of hard truths, a lot of reasons why tonight's the last episode. I need to go away, have a good and hard look at myself after the Palmy debacle that didn't fall in my favour.
Oh, I see the research. They actually told us what's on the show. 62% of people have yelled out an ex's name during sex. This is spectacular.
Look, for me, it only happened once, and I apologise, and we moved on.
Well, this one's tonight, to kick off the show. How many Australians do you think have never used a swear word, bearing in mind that you guys are from Queensland?
0.05%.
I don't think there's a day that goes past that we don't use swear words.
No, we even do it on radio. What are you talking about?
Is 18%. 18% of Australians have never used a swear word. My mum's one of them.
Oh, my God. I think my
mum is one of them?
Yep, my mum's never swore. I've never heard her swear.
Did she ever hit you? Is that what did you get hit?
Yeah, how did she lash out instead?
She left that to Dad.
Wait until he gets home.
Wooden spoon. The other, when we cover off how many people have fallen for an online scam tonight, and also how many have done a poo outside as an adult. So we really cover all the bases.
I love you. Andy, well, thank everyone to be watching because it is the greatest show on TV. 8:40 tonight on 9. Always good having a yarn, mate.
Good to chat, guys.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Marto, I don't know if you have a pet name for Kath, but I've noticed when she rings you or you ring her, in your phone, she is AA Kath. And I wasn't sure if that was, you know, something anonymous or
she did
if that was...
When we first got mobile phones, she did that, so I came up on top of the list because she's the person I ring more than anyone else, smart. My beautiful wife.
Yeah. Oh, that's cute. You couldn't just add her to your favourites, you know, perhaps, and then you...
Don't know how to do that.
Well, it got me thinking because I was talking about it with my girlfriends while we were away camping because when someone rings you, I have their photos and emojis beside their name. And
Do you have special tunes? I was with somebody last week who plays special tunes when people ring.
Like, no, but I know a girlfriend who has that for me, so she knows when to answer and when not to answer.
When you ring her?
When I ring her.
What plays?
When I text her, it's like, it's me. And she's oh, here she is again. But no, because one of my girlfriends pointed out the fact that I just have her in my phone as her full name, her first name and her last name. And she's like, I don't get a nickname or like a pet name. Or I'm like, that's cute because Corey.
What do people get offended if you don't
Hottie
have a
Hottie McHotface in my phone.
Sorry?
And then Hottie McHotface.
Oh,
well, he used to
cute.
Be Hot Husband. And now it's just Hottie. I just change it all the time. I've got a little photo of him. And when he rings me, his photo comes up and it says, Hottie McHotface calling.
You know what Kath has me under on her phone, and I didn't do it, AA Greg Lover.
Ooh, there you go. That's about
as cute as we get.
That is cute.
I don't do this stuff, but I noticed, and again, last week we were with some friends, her husband's name's Scott, and he was Hottie Scotty.
Yeah, well, I have to do it because I have like 9 friends called Kate and Katie, and so I have to kind of differentiate them by adding emojis.
What about their last name?
Well,
you know,
but I don't always know their last name. Like I've got lots of Julies, and I got caught up the other day. Whereas I texted Julie something, and she said, "Oh, wrong Julie." And then I said, "Oh, sorry, babe. I heard about your dog too." And she goes, "Nope, still the wrong Julie."
Crikey! you just put their last name or how you know it?
Well, I don't remember what I saved them as. Yeah, I'm just like Jules, Julie, Julianne. There's so many. There's too many Juliet. There's too many of them.
So
to differentiate, I've got them as different names and photos and emojis. And but the only annoying part is when Siri announces the name and you've got like one of my friends is KTW Bread, white woman with black hair holding hands across body.
It
actually like reads out what the emojis are. Cocktail glass or martini, race
that's
car.
Most of them.
Yeah, there's like she's got like all of these emojis beside her. Just a bit of fun. But 133353. What have you got your partner saved as in your phone? Because, I've got Hottie McHotface and I change it every now and then. But just like having Corey, it's boring, you know? Like it's cute. Lover, babe. You know, everybody's got like a little nickname. And then like some of them are just Ice in case of emergency. You know, like this is the person you need to ring when I'm in trouble. Make sure that you've got that beside it.
Oh, this is good.
But yours is AA Kath. I feel like we need to come up with something a little bit more creative. Like,
spicy.
You're Greg Lover.
I know everyone else will be.
Greg Lover. Lover.
I'd probably do it
boy.
If I could find out how to do it, but everyone else will know.
What have you got your partner saved as in your phone? Give yourself up. Might be something cute. It could be something funny. It might be a personal joke. I mean,
we'll
be
doing a lot of, that's so cute.
So cute. Yeah.
133353. Got Brisbane Heat memberships to give away as well.
I want to go. That's weird.
Jono from Capella Bar. Hello, Jono.
How you going?
Yeah, good, mate. Have you got your partner saved in your phone as something a little different?
I got my partner under Sexy Bum.
Oh, yeah. Does she have a sexy bum, Jono?
She's got a cute little bum, yes.
Now, listen.
Does she like that you call her that or that you have her saved? Is that in your phone?
She doesn't mind, no, but when it flashes up, when she rings me around people, she gets a bit funny because it comes up.
Jono, has she got you down as pervy on her phone?
Oh, creepy, Jono.
Oh, creepy, Jono.
Thanks for the calls. This is Triple M.
It's the end of the podcast. What do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.